This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Now for a change of pace on a Friday afternoon to a galaxy far, far away. There's a new Star Wars movie coming out in a couple of weeks. Rogue One is the title, the second consecutive film in that franchise with a female lead character. Amanda Hess wrote in the New York Times not too long ago about those characters and, more to the point, the female fans of those characters and the movies overall. Amanda, it's good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Women have been interested in Star Wars, you know, from the get-go. What has changed about sort of the nature of that fan base, that fandom?
Well, you're right. You know, women have been really well represented among fans in Star Wars since the first movies came out. In fact, you know, women were really instrumental in creating early fanzines that were sent through the mail. And they were so overrepresented that one woman who wrote a fanzine penned an essay asking where the men were because they couldn't find enough of them. But, you know, then the internet happened and Star Wars became even more of a corporate property. And this whole sort of mainstream fandom bubbled up around it. And all of these fans were connected. And it really sort of became a much more male-dominated space.
And it's interesting because, you know, one of the things you point out in this article is that there are so few actual female leads and relevant female characters in the Star Wars universe that fans can't watch them have relationships with each other, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So the typical, you know, test that you would use is the Bechdel test, which is it's a woman in a film speaking with another woman about something other than a man.
Right.
And it's a pretty baseline test of whether a movie shows the real lives of women not in relationship to men's lives. And the Star Wars films have suffered on that front. And so what we've seen in the fandom, though, is a lot of women who come together and very much pass the Bechdel test among themselves. There are a bunch of podcasts now where women come together, talk about Star Wars, talk about the women they love in Star Wars, talk about their relationships with other female fans and with their daughters and their mothers. So they've really created for themselves online something that the films have not yet really given them.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and this goes back to your point about Star Wars now being even more corporate than it used to be, right, with Disney owning it. You can count probably on the fingers of one hand the main female characters in all of the Star Wars movies, right? Is Lucasfilms, is Disney listening to this fan base?
It's a great question. I think, you know, I think they are. So I do think that Lucasfilm thought by emphasizing the character of Rey in The Force Awakens that they were really reaching out to young female fans. And many of them have come back and said, great, we love Rey. We want to see other types of women. We want to see non-white women. They want to see women who are not in this particular brunette badass mold every female lead in Star Wars tends to be.
Right. But haven't they already demonstrated their tone deafness? I mean, if you think about The Force Awakens and how huge Rey was in that movie, and then lo and behold, no action figure of her, right?
Yes.
And you're like, come on, man.
Such a disgrace. But with every film, I think we're seeing them course correct a little bit. So in the run-up to Rogue One, you can buy every type of djinn gear that you could possibly imagine. So I think they have at least heard that, which is, you know, it's a low bar, but they've cleared it this time.
Great. Low bar. Lovely. Amanda Hess writes on culture for the New York Times. Amanda, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.